You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the trust you put in people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 289 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week is the man, the myth, and the legend, co-host Kevin Johnson.
I don't even know how to respond to these greetings. I thought you were going to make a joke about the man with the coolest garage around or something like
that. You do have a cool garage. And
yeah, but temperature-wise is what we mean.
Yes, yes. Kevin is very excited because he did get air conditioning in his garage. Now, he lives in Florida, so this is kind of a big deal, right?
Yes. I got a mini split unit installed. Now, you know that I believe electricity is magic, right? Like
ever since it was invented, yes.
Right? Uh-huh. You flip a switch and everything turns on. That just, you know, whatever, right? But I want to just say that the two guys who installed my AC unit yesterday in the garage, they combined breakers. So my box was full, but some of the breakers were 10 amp smaller breakers.
Right,
so they could use these like double breakers or something, right? And they combined multiple breakers and added a breaker without ever shutting the power off to the house. Does that not seem dangerous?
Yes, but they're professionals. So were they actual electricians? They have to be, right?
No, they're AC people.
Oh, so no, they're not electricians.
So,
okay, got it.
What they told me, and I probably shouldn't record this just in case they lied and I'm breaking the law. What they told me was that because it's in a garage, the building department won't issue a permit for it.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't recommend that you air condition your uninsulated garage. I'm basically air conditioning my cul-de-sac.
Yes.
I was waiting for them to power down the house, and I walked out there. I'm like, hey man, do you have any, because I was about to get on a meeting, I'm like, any idea when you're going to shut the power off? And the guy's like, we're not, we already did that. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
And nobody died. So
nobody died. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't know that nobody died. They might have cleaned up the scene before I walked outside.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, we have an exciting episode this week, and I know Scott is not here. Unfortunately, he had a conflict this week, but we will carry on without Scott this week. But before we get into our stories, I did want to conduct our monthly supporter shout out because it is the beginning of August. Welcome to the month of August. And I would like to thank Dylan, Dan, Kevin, and Johan.
Can I vote that you support? Don't have to thank me every month?
Well, I'm thanking you because you did sign up as a Patreon. So I just
I did it because I thought it was funny. And, you know, but you don't need to thank me every month.
Okay. All right. I'll remove you from the thanks because I thank you all the time. As a reminder to our listeners that we have a goal of getting 5 Patreon supporters in the month of August. So we need one more. And could you be that one supporter listening or watching right now? You could.
We need to play pictures of like puppies and kittens at the pound. Like, what is that humane society where they're all, oh, that poor puppy.
Oh, the poor kitten.
A little tear. That's what we need to do.
Except that you will not get a puppy or a kitten if you sign up to be a supporter. I'm sorry.
I don't know that's true. I have 5 cats in my house and I'm allergic. So I'm willing to ship a cat to somebody.
Okay. Well,
maybe
careful
not
what you ask for.
Yeah, maybe that won't work.
Because I'm going to get an email like, Kevin said I can get a cat. What happened?
Kevin said, I will ship you a cat. Okay, I was kidding.
So you can find out the details of becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/sharedsecurity. And you can check out all the great benefits of that support. And we appreciate you. So guess what next week is? Or actually, you're listening to this now. It will be this week.
Yeah, because it's next week for you and I, because we're recording it the week
before. That's right. But it's the elusive Hacker Summer Camp. Black Hat DEF CON B-Sides Las Vegas.
I don't know that elusive is the right word.
No, is that the wrong word?
Elusive implies it's difficult to get there, and really all you need is a ticket to Vegas.
And that's not that hard to get to Vegas.
Right.
Unless you're on the other side of the world or Europe, it might be a little more challenging, but
it's still just
buying
a ticket. So there's not a ton of challenge, I guess, is, you know.
Right. And it is that time of year where we see the news articles and the tweets
every
or the
year.
X's or whatever we call Twitter
every
now.
Year.
That, you know, if you're going to Hacker Summer Camp, here are the things that you need to be aware of and what you need to prep for. And so it sets off a lot of, I'd say, a little bit of alarmist type of commentary, maybe from the media, not necessarily the community, because I think we all know better. Like, especially if you've been to DEF CON before, it's not that big of a deal. But there are certain things that I think talking about.
Yes, I won't disagree with that. I will disagree with the idea that it's any more special than what you should do anytime you're in public.
Well, of course.
Right. My issue with the DEF CON thing is I feel like it's more mystique. Like, oh man, we're so cool. We're hackers and, you know, you're going to get everything owned. And I don't know. I think that there is a level of risk you have to think about because you are in a group of people. I'm going to say something that I've been told before is rude, but fine.
You would never do that.
I know.
Go ahead.
There's a bunch of wannabe, like,
script kiddies?
Not script kiddies. Because I'm not bothered by script kiddies in this case. I'm trying to figure out the right way to say it. There are a bunch of people who, because they're at Hacker Summer Camp, they believe they are supposed to do stuff that they wouldn't normally do. You know what I mean? Wannabe is not the right word. It's like, oh, I'm at Hacker Summer Camp, so I'm supposed to try to compromise other people's phones. I'm supposed to futz with the elevator or, right, like that kind of thing. Whereas, like I've talked to people there that you say to them, like, they're like, ha ha ha, did you see what I did to that ATM? And it's like, would you have done that at your local mall? And
right.
Then it's no, yeah. We're at DEF CON. So we're supposed to, no, you're not. That's not what it's supposed to be. I don't know. That's my issue. That's the risk I think there is at DEF CON that isn't normally around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, some people think it's an invitation to do things illegally, right? That you normally wouldn't do anywhere else or in other situations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that isn't true. So you know what I mean? That's.
Yeah. I think it all comes back down to your risk profile, right? Like, you know, who you are and perhaps what type of business you're doing. Obviously, I think it's a good idea to turn your Wi-Fi off if you're, you know, using a Wi-Fi device or a phone or something at DEF CON. Like, this is kind of common sense stuff. Do you need to bring a burner phone, as this article says some people do?
No.
Depends. I mean, I don't think so. But again, your risk profile may be different than other people. So,
that's out. Like,
so
if,
sure.
If, yeah. If you're going to bring a burner phone to another place that had in public, then bring a burner phone here. I don't know. I go back to the number of people who I remember my first DEF CON. It was a long time ago because I'm old. And I don't even think I knew you at that point because I was still at Blue Cross.
I haven't met you. Yeah, my first DEF CON was DEF CON 14.
Yeah, and I was still at Blue Cross when I went. I don't remember the number, but it was around, might have been 15. Might have been 15. Doesn't matter. Whatever it was one of the before I got involved in consulting and stuff like that. And I remembered looking around and seeing all these people who had obviously dyed their hair that weekend in the hotel shower, right? Like,
of course. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, that's what I want to be. I'm going to pretend to be this for the weekend. And that part always just struck me as odd. So, but like I said, I've been told that's mean.
Well, you know, I guess I want to like real quick just offer the advice that maybe it's the non-standard advice outside of like, you know, don't bring your phone and, you know, you're going to get hacked and all these things. But honestly, like the number, I'd say three things you need to really stay concerned with is stay hydrated, yes. Right? Because Las Vegas next week is going to be hotter than hell because we are in this heat wave in the West Coast of the United States. Las Vegas, Arizona, that whole area is extremely hot. So please, please, please stay hydrated. The other recommendation is wear comfortable shoes because you will be walking a lot.
Especially now that it's not, I mean, it's been this way for a while, but it's not one hotel. It's multiple.
It's spread all over the place. So definitely, you know, flip flops, I probably don't recommend those, but like comfortable walking shoes is ideal. And then the last one I'm going to say is like bring cash because especially at DEF CON in the vendor area and others, you know, they only accept cash depending on what you're buying. And some people only carry cards and that may become a problem. And then you got to find an ATM and all that stuff. So
I don't carry cash. I very rarely have cash.
Same.
And when I go to Vegas for DEF CON, I bring cash. And it's not I'm afraid to use my credit card. It's that so many of the things I want to pay for won't take the credit card.
Yeah. So those are our common sense recommendations for Hacker Summer Camp this year. And I would worry less about a nation state dropping a 0 day on your phone.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And if it does happen, if you're one of the people that the nation state is going to drop a 0 day on your phone, they're probably going to drop that 0 day the week after, wherever you live.
Yes. And you've got other problems to worry about if that is going to happen to you.
Yes, that I agree with 100%. The only additional thing I would say is I would add situational awareness. And what I mean by that is
that's good. Yeah.
There's lots of people that go out to Vegas and they lose. There's an aspect of fantasy in the entire place, right? Just completely. And I've seen way too many people that who would not fall for some social engineering attempt that was this blatant fall for blatant social engineering attempts because of that fantasy, right?
Because of the environment that you're in.
Yep. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the whole city is meant to take your money.
That's how they build that big eyeball.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And I mean, honestly, I think it'll be interesting. You mentioned the eyeball, the sphere, as they call it. That's the big bet right now in the hacker community of who's going to hack the sphere.
I would ask, do they have a bug bounty program? Like, does that
organization? I don't know. I have not done the research. I think it's owned by MGM, isn't it? It's like one of the big casinos, I think.
I think so.
So, yeah. Well, we'll see. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we will. Know.
Employee awareness of cybersecurity threats is critical to your organization. But most employees are bored by traditional security awareness training. The vast majority of employees are much more engaged when training is gamified. ClickArmor is the first fully gamified security awareness platform that reduces employee vulnerability by 60%. These days, we can't avoid cyber threats. They're everywhere, and everyone is a target. Employees really need to get better at avoiding cyber threats, like phishing and social engineering. Most security awareness training solutions aren't effective enough to really change behavior. ClickArmor uses a very different approach that employees love. We use proven gamification techniques with psychological drivers that keep employees motivated to learn and improve their skills. Rather than using controversial live phishing tests that anger many employees and provide unreliable metrics, ClickArmor's unique learning challenges help employees learn about cybersecurity in a fun, stress-free way that builds up their confidence. And our engaging, simulated threat scenarios motivate employees to improve their skills in a safe and fun environment. Gamified simulators can also extend far beyond phishing scenarios to practice facing dangerous social engineering scams. Our weekly 3-minute challenges provide continuous reinforcement for employees. Motivating employees to participate willingly means higher assurance reporting for compliance and risk management. Simple integration with your employee directory means that deployment of ClickArmor is a snap, and single sign-on makes usage and ongoing management of ClickArmor easy. ClickArmor has been proven to provide better employee engagement, making IT managers' lives easier. If you're tired of ineffective awareness training that hurts your corporate culture, find out how to gamify your security awareness training experience to improve employee resilience with ClickArmor.
Moving on to the next topic or story. Since Scott is not here, we will not do aware much. But I will say it just for you, Kevin.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But I want to talk a little bit about new attacks that are impacting all of those AI chatbots like ChatGPT. And yeah. This is an interesting article, just kind of giving some visibility to, you know, we've already talked about some of the issues with these chatbots, right? Like they're susceptible to fake information, biases, providing those odd responses, because they're obviously replying to the things that it was trained on, right? When you ask it a question or what have you. But there are ways to kind of manipulate these chatbots, right? By injecting certain information or giving them different types of, let's say, malicious type query strings and things like that. I think it's fascinating to think about. This is kind of a new or newer type of attack vector in some ways because of the way that these AI chatbots work.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree with you that it's a newer type. It feels like a newer type. But I actually think this is very, very similar to code injection.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
But the code you're doing is in a prompt. Right. So you're bypassing those controls. It's functioning a very similar way. The difference is that instead of the code executing on a server somewhere, instead you're getting the bot, the AI, the LLM, the whatever you want to call it today, to do things it's not supposed to. Right. Like it's that. The other thing I think it's very similar to is WAF evasion. Right. So you're attacking an application. You have a web app firewall in front of it. We have to figure out evasion strings to get past that. Looking at some of these injections, they resemble that idea. Right. What is the one? Parameter pollution, where you send the same parameter multiple times with different payloads to see which one it accepts. Right. Does it take the first one, the last one, whatever? This is similar to that, where you're really sending in at least one of the attacks, you're sending in multiple prompts, and the control is looking at the first prompt, but the last prompt is what's running or whatever. So I think it's interesting. It's fascinating. I understand the guardrails that many of these LLMs have on them. If all your attack is doing is bypassing the guardrail, that is less interesting to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely interesting to the LLM company, right? I'm not saying it's not a good attack. I'm just saying I find that less interesting. Guardrails are guardrails. We get past guardrails all the time, right? Like that's a minor control. And in my experience, the vast majority of the guardrails on these LLMs are really CYA guardrails, not significant security controls. The prompt injection stuff, where you're able to get it to read content and then execute that prompt, that's where we start talking about injections and things like that. That for me, again, not talking about industry whole, just Kevin, those are the ones that are more interesting to me and neater, for the lack of a better term.
Yeah. So they talk about in this article about some of the, importance of open source models, right? So, you know, people can review the code, they can understand where maybe the weaknesses are in those systems, or at least acknowledge the risks, right? Depending on how it's used. And and then they talk about like maybe more security efforts should be directed towards things around like social networks. Specifically around disinformation, which has really a real danger
With
these systems.
But I don't know that you're going to get I don't know that you're going to get the LLMs to be able to do that very well.
It's going to be hard. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we see this time and time again. You know, one of the disinformation things that you know, there was a ton of effort when the Hunter Biden laptop came out.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not going to discuss, right? I'm just saying that, like, there was a bunch of stuff about that's not Hunter Biden's laptop. That's fake. That's wrong. And then it comes out, no, actually, it is Hunter Biden's laptop, right? Like, so where, as the LLM, where do you fall down on that, right? Where do you make the decision of, okay, we're not going to respond to that question. We're not going to do that. And in my opinion, that's a organization by organization choice, right? But I think that the disinformation thing is, I think that we have a potential for LLMs to help educate people as to what disinformation is. Like, to be able to say to the LLM, hey, I see this meme. Is that real? And have it go out and collect information and come back and give an, I'm going to say, educated answer, because I don't know a better term. That, I think, is kind of cool. I just don't know how effective it's going to be able to do it, because it's being trained on that same information.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yep. Well, we will see, ever evolving, when we talk about chatbots. So our last story, something of a, just to share some information with our audience about this new tool or toy, I might add, called a Flipper Zero. So Flipper Zero, if you are not familiar with this is a small handheld device that's been used for hacking, pen testing, or, you know, even just learning about, like, wireless technology. So it provides your basic wireless communication, some radio frequency signal analysis. It can actually emulate contactless cards. So thinking about pen testing, right? There's some interesting things you can do there. But it also has been used to control TVs. Like, say you're in a sports bar with, like, you know, 20 TVs. Well, you could just change all the channels without people knowing. You know, air conditioners, garage doors. There's a lot of things that you can do with this for fun or for malicious purposes. So, Kevin, do you have a Flipper Zero?
I do not, but a number of people at my company do. As a matter of fact, at our all hands a couple weeks ago, two of our staff, Jennifer Shannon and Travis Phillips, did an internal training on how they use the Flipper Zero, some of the features and stuff like that, that they did really, really, I mean, I was really impressed with how well they did. I think they're neat. I think that many people treat them as a toy. And so for those people, they are a toy. I think that they are pretty powerful devices in the right hands.
Very.
And I will say that the inexpensive aspect of leveraging them to go after, what is it, I'm blanking on RFID and NFC. I don't know why I blanked on NFC's acronym. That alone makes them interesting to look at as a pen tester, especially if you're doing physical pen testing and stuff like that. I do not think that they are going to revolutionize the industry. I do also think it's interesting what have they done two or three times now that the shipments have been held because of
fear of getting money going
to Russia or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Flipper Zero people that, you know, they say very firmly they're not sending money to Russia. But I know that a couple of times the shipments have been held because of that. They're hard to get a hold of unless you're willing to pay extra to a third party.
Yep. Yeah. And they're about $169. And then, they're kind of hard to find right now. So, you know, they're obviously back ordered and those types of things. But anyway, just wanted to share that little tip of awareness and, you know, maybe, I will get one and maybe do a further demo on some of the cool things you could do.
Yeah. There are some neat things. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can convince Jennifer or Travis.
That'd be even better.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So total tangent. I know it's not one of the articles you threw out there, but did you see the announcement this morning from, the Zap project?
No, I did not.
So Simon announced this morning that ZAP, the Zed Attack Proxy, which is was a flagship project at OWASP, has been yanked out from under the OWASP name and is now part of the Software Security Foundation, which is part of the Linux Foundation. That's a massive change. And I'm curious.
Yeah.
I know Mark Kerfey had run for the board at OWASP and left. And I've got my own rude opinion about that. but Mark is one of the two people that formed the Software Security Foundation. Yeah, that's what it's called. And they announced it a few days ago. And then this morning, ZAP was announced. Two of the ZAP developers are getting full-time salaries from SSF to run the project, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
I know that one of the main things Mark has been fighting against with OWASP is the lack of funding for projects and things like that. And my answer is the same. It's always been OWASP needs to figure out how to convince people to become paying members before they can really fund projects. But OWASP doesn't seem to be doing a good job of that. I have really rude opinions of OWASP, and full disclosure, I'm a lifetime member. I'm vice chair of the project committee and a project lead. So I ran a chapter for a while. So I know OWASP, and I think
interesting news.
Sad to see the project get pulled that way. And
I
understand Simon's reasoning, and I back him 100%. I feel like that is a negative for OWASP, and I'm curious to see how many other projects jump ship.
We'll see.
Yep.
Well, with that, I think that's all we have time for this week. So for everybody that's heading out to Hacker Summer Camp, stay safe, stay cool, and stay hydrated. And for everyone else, we will talk to you all again next week. Thanks for listening or watching. If you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. To catch all the latest from the podcast, visit us at sharedsecurity.net. Follow us on Mastodon at Shared Security, on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit.